Acts 5, I just want to read a few scriptures this morning. Acts 5, let's go to verse 12 to start with. Graham Vert a few weeks ago talked too about the power in the name of Jesus. Who knows it's the only name? And Graham do a fantastic job as well. And I also, because everything's been going on, I haven't even thanked Charlie and Helen and the rest of the team while we were on leave. Awesome job, team. So thank you all for a few weeks ago when we were on leave. And Acts 5:12, here we go. And through the hands of the apostles, many signs and wonders were done among the people. And they were with one accord in Solomon's porch. Solomon's porch was, they had columns which were about 40 feet high. It was like a huge patio before you went into the temple area. And it's actually where Jesus taught the disciples. And so they're here, they're doing the same thing. And yet, verse 13, yet none of the rest dared join them, the rest being the Jewish people, the Sadducees, the religious leaders, but the people esteemed them highly. And believers were increasingly added to the Lord. What were they doing? They were being added to the Lord. Believers were increasingly added to the Lord. And this is an amazing word, multitudes of both men and women. So that they brought the sick out into the streets and laid them on beds and couches, that at least the shadow of Peter passing by might fall on some of them. Who'd like to have that kind of power? Who believes you can? Amen. Who believes it's the same word today? You can have that kind of power. So if we make room for God, which is our whole theme for this year, who knows what God can use you for? Who's available today? Give me a wave. Who'd like to make themselves available for God? Malachi, how's the footy going? Going good? Yeah, you've been doing all right. Yeah, I think you have. Good to see you, man. Good to have you in church. Awesome. You know, the early church was full of the power of the Holy Spirit. Did anyone get a bit of a touch of the Holy Spirit when we're worshiping today? Can you imagine just having that kind of a feeling, like, all the time? And Peter's shadow's healing people, multitudes are coming to the Lord through the apostles. And the church was rapidly swelling in numbers. Now, who knows that whenever you stand up for what you know to be the right thing, that there's always going to be others who will oppose you. Andrea's touched on this last week, and I'm going to talk a little bit more about this particular area in a moment, and we'll get there. The apostles, even though they were doing all this great work, they ended up getting locked up in prison. Be pretty terrible if you got locked up in prison today for actually healing someone, wouldn't it? That's a good thing, right? That's what was happening. But God gets them out again. You can read the story for yourself. It just continues on. Angel appeared. All the doors were still locked. They got out. And what do they start doing? They start preaching again. They just go back out and start preaching again. Wow, what incredible courage and power on the early church. The apostles go to the temple straight from prison, start teaching God's word again. And in chapters 4 to 8, the church is under persecution. Turn to your neighbour and say, persecution does happen. If you love God and serve him faithfully. Isn't that true, church? Now, we don't know much about persecution in Australia, the truth be told. But I'm going to give you a few illustrations this morning, and because chapter 4 to 8 is actually all about persecution. The whole 4 or 5 chapters is all about persecution. Interestingly, though, the irony, though, is that although the church bases are thinned, the church overall continues to have explosive growth. And so I want to talk about being principled as well, and the title of my message, have I given you that yet? Let's do that. That'd be good. Hero or star? Turn to your neighbour and say, are you going to be a hero or a star? Andrea wants to be both. All right, so being principled. Who knows it's good to be principled? Well, I don't know. See, the world doesn't think much of principles these days. Is that right? So this is really interesting. Who knows that the Word of God gives us principles? And those principles help us do life well. Who knows that, you know, on a soccer field, because I know you like soccer, most of us here, because we're a multicultural church. I haven't got time to go into it, so I'll just continue on. And so you like to dribble the ball, play soccer. Except over this corner. I'm with you guys. Anyway, I can't go there. No time. Anyway, you know, but imagine if there was no rules when you played soccer. It wouldn't be a very interesting game, would it? Imagine if there was no corner shots or, is that what they do? Yeah. No headers. I mean, it would just be like, what's this? It'd just be chaos, right? So principled, it helps our life, being principled. Here's some synonyms for having a principled life, because I want to get to just doing a bit of a warm-up here before we look at two significant points this morning. The synonyms. Can you say that quickly? Synonym. All right. For being principled, or the word principle: ethical, righteous, upright, right-minded, honourable, honest. I like this one, especially when I go to Africa. Incorruptible. Incorruptible. Respectable and decent. In chapter 4, when Peter and John were placed in prison for healing a man lame from birth and then put on trial, the Sanhedrin made this statement. They realized they had been with Jesus. And when you have been with Jesus, you not only know what the right thing to do is, you will boldly stand up for what you believe. Is anyone hearing me this morning? Because when you make room for God in your life, there is a Holy Spirit courage that comes inside of you, that you know that there's a tenacity that regardless of what people are going to say or think of you, you stand up because you're principled to God first. And so in Acts 5:28, did we not, this is the religious people. Aren't you glad that C3 Frio is not religious? Fantastic. Susan, I've heard you just started a Connect group. Is that correct? This week. Fantastic. How awesome. New to church, already in a, start a Connect group. How good. All right. I've got to get moving. This is what it says, 5:28. Did we not strictly command you not to teach in his name? And look, you have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine. All right? Now, there's no apathy with the early Christians. There's no staying in bed an extra hour and missing church. Hint, hint. There's no lack of interest for God or his people. No one had to force them to get involved with everything that was going on in building the house of God. They were meeting in people's homes. In fact, there was no church building at this time, but there was this fervency to extend the kingdom of God. Now, right now in Syria, the Christians are being persecuted by the Islamic State in the thousands. Most churches are in ruins. I've got this straight off the internet just 2 weeks ago. The Christian population has halved, and many have died for their belief in Christ. Now, I've got an article here which I'll share with you from Open Doors USA, dated the 28th of June 2017. Pretty current, right? The Islamic State's been filling the headlines for a long time and filling the hearts of many people in the Middle East with fear. But in the midst of all this, the church in the Middle East is showing the love of Christ to those who fled their homes. Muslims in the Middle East are turning to Jesus in unprecedented numbers. Before the war, it was rare that a Muslim would become a follower of Jesus Christ. The war has changed everything. They did this interview, just to briefly give you the summary of it, with Amir, Rasha, and their two children who fled from Homs. This is what Amir shares, the husband. Since 2012, we have been living in a tent. It is not an easy life. About a year ago, my wife's mother was killed by a sniper when she went out to have some fresh air. My wife's brother was killed on his way home. The life of this family was not good, the reporter says. And then Amir says, about 3 months ago, I was given a vision of Jesus Christ. I was sleeping and all of a sudden I saw Jesus Christ in white. He said, I am Christ. You will have a beautiful daughter. His wife is 8 months pregnant. And a month later, we received a beautiful daughter. At about the same time, the wife had a dream too. I saw Jesus Christ. He was dressed in white. He said to me, I am your savior. You will follow me. Both Amir and Rasha, his wife, made a bold decision after these dreams. We decided to follow him. We named our baby Christina. Very Christian name. In a Muslim state. Come on. We left our Islamic customs. Amir stopped going to the mosque. Rasha still wears the Muslim head covering because of the situation. Here we are living in one of the safest countries in the world. We can worship whenever we like, whoever we like. Nobody's going to persecute you. It's unusual. You know, you're probably not going to get gunned down. And yet, we can make such a big deal of what it is to be a Christian. And I love that we've got some incredible servers in our church. But I tell you, it would be really good if we all got on board with this and said, you know what, I'm so grateful that I have health and strength and that I can be involved in serving in God's house. I'm so grateful that even though I'm not completely able like our Steve, but I can work on the sound desk and praise him all my life. You know, I might not have everything that I need right now, but I can trust God for my future. I don't know what the tomorrow may hold, but I'm not going to let anybody else tell me what I have in Jesus Christ. My faith remains in him. And so, you know, seeing people run into the kingdom of God, my goodness, isn't it messy? You know, I heard last year a couple of youth put their heads through the wall. You know, they're just messing about in the youth room and their heads go through the wall. It's expensive to fix walls. You know, they had a bonfire. Blame the youth for everything. They had a bonfire out. In fact, I think this is when your son was leading. And the shade cloths burnt. Have you noticed there's holes in the shade cloths out? Have you ever been out? My goodness. But you know what? It's messy winning people to Christ. But would you like to just have boring old church? Would you like to never see a new person in church? Because there's churches like that, but it won't be here. We're going to build the kingdom of God. You know, Port Care, what an incredible vision we have for Port Care and its future, serving the local community. I better settle. Nige, settle. See, regardless of the cost to you personally, you know where your loyalty lies. 29, but Peter and the other apostles answered. They've just said, what's this doctrine, you know? And they've just been thrown in prison. You'd think they'd have a better answer than this, and I'm sure we would be more democratic. But Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. Just because things are not going your way does not mean you abandon God. The authorities at the times of the early church would force the Christians who would not renounce Jesus to line along the roads in public view. The commentators say these lines were very long, stretching for kilometres at a time, so that everyone could watch to try and get rid of Christianity. As they faced their executioners, and all the Christians were singing hymns and praising God to their death. The emperor Nero, because this is what we've just been reading. I haven't even got to the other part of the scriptures yet, but we'll get there. The Emperor Nero blamed the Christians for the great fire that destroyed 10 of the 14 city wards in Rome. This is 64 AD. It was actually a fire that Nero himself ordered. The historian Tacitus, alive at the time of the early church persecutions, who himself was not a Christian, made this statement. Nero had the believers torn by dogs, nailed to crosses, and used as human torches to illuminate his garden at night. He also organized games to the death. And even though the Christians knew their fate for standing up for their beliefs, they still stood resolute in their faith. Is there anyone here that will stand resolute in their faith today? Is there anyone here that will be a hero? You see, the early church took the life of the words of Jesus quite literally. There was no higher honor than to imitate Jesus than through martyrdom. The actual definition of the word martyr, by the way, is born witness for Jesus Christ. Would anyone here be a born witness for Jesus Christ when it really, the going gets tough? Can we say that we are a church that regardless of my circumstances or what has happened in my life, I will trust him no matter what? And I think this is something that we've got to get inside of us, especially as the world just keeps you know, changing so rapidly around us. In 1 Peter 4:16, yet if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in this matter. See, the two Roman emperors, Nero and another guy, I've forgotten his name, they tried to completely wipe out the early church. Both failed dismally. It's very hard to kill the faith that we have in our Creator God. And so courage means to be principled in the face of danger and opposition. And so I want to ask the question, and with this point this morning, we may not get to our second point, but I hope we do. But you know, will you be a hero or a star? When you're a hero, you don't care about the opposition that comes your way. You don't care about how many Facebook friends you have. That was just a bit of a joke, that one. You don't care about whether you are going to get elected again. You don't care about what others will think at all. Our culture is creating a lot of stars and not heroes. And Andrew and I, interestingly, well, this is just a bit of a funny too, actually, but Andrew and I took a drive to Mount Lawley. Andrea had a scoop on. Anyone use scoop ons? I thought, what? Where are we going, Andrea? It's our day off and we're heading out and I'm thinking, we're in the suburbs. Anyway, we ended up in Mount Lawley and there was this nice quaint cafe and the owner happened to be there. We were having breakfast together, romantic breakfast in the suburbs of Mount Lawley. It was a cold day, it was. Anyway, decided to sit outside and just the owner of the cafe comes up to me and Andrew and I and realised that we lived in Fremantle and we weren't anywhere near Fremantle. And she said, are you a Fremantle Dockers supporter? I didn't know what to say. You know, I was like, so I says, yes, look, I support the AFL, but I don't really watch it all the time. But yes, the Freo Dockers would be my team. And she looks at me and goes, you're a very smart man. And then she says, those Eagles, they're just drug addicts, the whole lot of them. Now, I'm not sure. I didn't go into the, I'm not sure where the Freo Dockers stand on that. I'm not just saying, can't take an either side, but she was convinced. And it was just, it's like, what do people think that don't watch football? Do they all think we're crazy? Are we going to be principled in life? Because there's lots of stars out there, but do they actually make it to the end? Huh? And like the apostles, we ought to obey God rather than men. So turn to your neighbour and say, stick to your principles. Give them a bit of a you know, give them a finger of, yeah, you know, point at them. Will you stick with your principles because you know that having a principled life is the right life, and whether you get recognised or not, you're a hero when you get to heaven. And you're a hero to everyone here. You're a hero to those in the house of God. You're a hero when you stand up. When you stand up for you know, as a father, and you see something that's wrong, that's completely unacceptable, and you talk to your children and you actually say, that's not how we do things, son. Will you be a hero and do the right thing, or you let things go just untended and there's weeds that grow and then character traits that are formed and it becomes a mess? Are we going to be principled in life? I don't know if that was for anybody. It just sort of came out of the blue, that. Anyway. I mean, let's face it, the world's grey. Will you marry or live together? Well, that got everyone quiet. Spouse or partner? Tell the truth or lie? See, if you marry, you're a hero.
Come on.
Just Andrea? If you marry, you're a hero. But it's not the popular choice. If you tell the truth instead of lying, you're a hero. It's no longer the popular choice, I might add. And what about other areas of our lives? You got friends today that you're doing harm to, not by saying what you need to say to them. Hero or star? Get along with everybody to be friends with everybody, or actually lead a principled life by the word of God, like the Acts church. And when you live in a principled life, you will have the courage of the early church. You'll have the courage to parent well. Courage to be truthful as a spouse. Courage to be principled at work. For all the young people here that aren't married yet, courage to say no to sex before marriage. It's certainly not the popular choice. And heroism may feel like it hurts us at times. Being principled and being a hero when no one else is actually looking. But actually, God is helping our future by the decisions that we make that are principled by the word of God, so that our relationships are not totally screwed up when we're older. Let me ask you a question. Would you have hidden the Jews in World War II? The Nazis viewed Jews as parasitic vermin. By 1945, 6 million European Jews were dead. More than 1 million were children. And the ones who survived were hidden, mostly by good, godly Christian people. 5:31 in the text, God has exalted to his right hand to be prince and saviour. See, heroes recognise whom their prince and saviour is, regardless of the outcome of the decisions they know to be right. So let me ask you, will you be his hero? Will you be his hero today? Will you take this word of God and the early Christian church and the persecution that they faced, and yet will you still stand and say, today I'm going to be a hero even if no one else sees what I'm doing? I'm going to stand up for being a principled, having a principled life and what I know to be right from the word of God. In verse 32, and we are witnesses to these things. It's the same word used in Acts 1:8. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be my witnesses. And so whose power are you going to rely on? Will you give up your power and trust his? Because that's the bottom line, isn't it? And when you fix your eyes on Jesus, you will have the power to be brave in our culture. You can expect to suffer as a Christian, but your hope is firmly in the future. And faith in Jesus, that hope in his future creates actually, what that does is actually the miracles start to come into your life. And there's momentum for the kingdom of God as you stay principled, as you stay a hero rather than a star. In Revelation 1:5, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness. Everyone say faithful witness. The firstborn from the dead and the ruler over the kings of the earth. Will you be his faithful witness today, church? We can learn so much from the early church. We certainly can. Come with me. It's only going to be the only message we're going to preach on persecution. Everyone said amen, I know. Acts 7:54. They're in and out of prison, all the apostles, and then Stephen's given an amazing address, a bit like Peter's a bit earlier in the book. Verse 54, when they heard these things, they were cut to the heart. This is the religious people. And they gnashed at him with their teeth. My goodness. But he, being full of the Holy Spirit, is anyone full of the Holy Spirit here today? Being full of the Holy Spirit, gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God and said, he looks out to the people, right? And he says, he looks at the religious leaders. He goes, look, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. Then they cried out with a loud voice, stopped their ears and ran at him with one accord. They cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at the feet of a young man named Saul, and they stoned Stephen as he was calling on God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Then he knelt down and cried out with a loud voice, Lord, do not charge them with this sin. And when he had said this, he fell asleep, which means he died. Stephen was the first recorded martyr. His death is one of the only ones that's recorded in detail in the whole New Testament. God allows this young man to be cut down in the prime of his ministry. They reckon he's in his 20s. And like Peter and John, Stephen is calm amidst his persecution while his persecutors are actually in a violent rage. Pastor Andrea mentioned last week in her message that we are blessed to live in a country with little violence or persecution. However, the devil may not use violent persecution, but he will use deceit and cunning to help us adopt worldly values. A worldly Christian is no threat to the devil. And if the devil can get us to live for selfish pursuit or comfort, maybe with a little church attendance thrown in for good measure, the devil's winning and not Jesus. But the moment a believer really understands and receives what Jesus Christ has done through the gospel, the good news, I'm alive through what Christ has done for me. He's nailed all my death and my sin on the cross. I'm a new creation. Is anyone here in that category today? And as new creations, we live a different kind of life. And when a believer serves God above themselves, when a believer gives of their time, their money, and their giftings to be a blessing and a witness to others, when a believer loves the mission of Jesus, oh yeah. We got Leap into Spring coming up, church. And it becomes a normal part of our life, giving to others that are more needy than ourselves. And no one is saying that living for Jesus is always going to be easy. It will hurt you from time to time. And if it does, take it on the chin. And know that Jesus is going to get you out of whatever situation you're in. Even Stephen knew that there was hope for his future in his dying words. And comfortable Christianity is unfortunately the norm for much of Western society. But I would like to believe that C3 Frio Wellard has at their core the determination and the love of the early church to see the kingdom of God advance regardless of our own situations and circumstances. It is far better to die with Stephen under a barrage of rocks and be welcomed into heaven by the risen Lord Jesus than to die peacefully in the midst of worldly comforts, surrounded by family, but then to hear, "Depart from me, I never knew you." Acts 7:55, "But he, Stephen, being full of the Holy Spirit, gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God." This is really interesting. The whole Trinity is present at Stephen's last moments on earth. And this year, we have committed to making room in our lives for God to be at the forefront of our thoughts, to be the kind of Christians like the early church. Is anyone going to be the kind of Christian? Now, we're not going to get persecuted, but can we actually have a determination in our spirit to live the kind of life that Jesus wants us to live? Can you really claim today to be full of the Holy Spirit? And Jesus had been on trial before the Sanhedrin, and after being asked, "Was he the Son of the living God, the Christ?" Jesus said, "I am, and you shall see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of power and coming with the clouds of heaven." Are you getting this? What did Stephen say? What did Stephen say to the crowd? What did he say to the Sanhedrin? Stephen is on his last breath, the same people who have slain Jesus, and Stephen says, "I see Jesus standing at the right hand of God." It's a smack in the face to the religious people. And Stephen affirms that Jesus is exactly where he predicted he would be. And it's at that moment that they stoned him to death. The risen Lord of power and glory. That's his last breath, as it were. "I thank you, God, that you are risen. And no matter what any man may do to me, I'm alive in Jesus Christ." Yeah, come on, let's stand to our feet, please, church. Father God, will you cement this message? Come on, just pray for a moment. I just want to give you a quote to finish from Spurgeon, the famous Charles Spurgeon. Oh, Lord God, can we just pop our hands up to heaven for a moment? Receive from God today. Lord, I want to receive all you have for me. Lord, help me to have like almost like tunnel vision for your purpose in my life. That I may stand and be principled and be a hero, not a star. That I may think of who I am when I'm with people and what my decision or my talk, my words will be. That I may be the kind of man that you, or woman that you want me to be. And Stephen called upon Jesus and worshipped him. This is what Spurgeon says. He makes no mention of any other intercessor. "O martyr of Christ, who didst thou not cry, Mary, blessed virgin? Why didst thou not pray to Saint Michael and all the angels? Ah, no, the abomination of saint and angel worship had not been invented in his day. And if it had been, he would have scorned it as the foul devices of hell. There is one mediator between God and man, the man, Jesus Christ. He invoked Christ and no one else. He invoked Christ and no one else. And Father, today I pray that every person here would invoke Christ into their life, into their heart, that we may receive the power of the Holy Spirit like the early church, that we would be the witnesses for the living God, and that no matter what others may come and do to us, we will stand for the name above all names. And his name is Jesus. And his name is Jesus. And his name is Jesus.
Like a flood.